Welcome, After Buzzers. You are watching the after show for the American Crime Story, the Versace Story, where tonight we talk about Conan's escape, his suicide, and the aftermath of the killing spree. Stay tuned for more.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Well, we are back for our final episode, guys. So glad you guys are checking in with us. My name is Shaka Simit, joined by my lovely co-host.
Hey, Ronnie, how are you?
Hey, After Buzzers, it's Russell Ray.
Hey, After Buzzers, it's Juliette. And wow, I can't believe it. Season finale.
We're done. I know we had so many, like, pros and cons, but what did you guys feel about the overall series in this finale in particular?
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we gotta jump in.
I think, honestly, this episode was the final piece, and it really catered to everything I was wanting and missing throughout the season, and I feel very satisfied.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh my God, we found out what happened to Antonio.
Yeah.
The one thing that I wanted to know, and it was very disappointing to me, but I'll tell you guys more about that later.
I liked it. I was one who liked the series a lot, you know, and you know, as Juliet said, completion, and for me, you know, I put a note, like, it felt like I was watching the regular news, and I don't know if that was just the way it was done, or I remember, it was 1997, watching it on the news, and the unpredictability of the beach house, stuff of that nature, so really took me there, and I was also really intrigued with some of the script, specifically Mrs. Miglin, so that sort of came out of nowhere, and was done poetic,
her character was nice, yeah.
And the shots were really nice, I liked the good use of music, too, so it kind of quieted me up, and I had my hands like in a prayer position. Yeah. So clearly, it affected me in some kind of way. Yeah.
I still love the series, but I still felt a little con that I didn't get enough Versace. But it would have changed the complexion of the series if it was really focused on Versace, not the murders, the crime. But
and we were talking about that before the episode, for the fact that maybe some viewers got confused that. Yeah. Because it was assassination of Gianni Versace, not when it was the people versus OJ. Yeah. The focus was on OJ because he was the one that was being charged with the crime.
Yeah, I don't think they got confused. I think they purposely used this Versace name to draw the viewer in.
Yeah.
And the viewer's like, hey, I don't see much Versace. But at the same time, I think the script, the writing, the filming was so good that I'm like, okay with it, because I really feel like I got a great show. But we open up again in 97, just right now, back to the murder, exactly where we started. What were your... Did you guys have emotions, or were you emotional going back and seeing that scene again?
Well, obviously, it's a book. It's a book ending.
Yeah.
So I just thought, oh my gosh, no. Because you just don't want it to happen.
Yeah, you know, you feel like, I mean, maybe you can change it by kind of willing it off the screen.
Yeah, and you're just hoping that, like, Versace gets into the gate before anything happens, but you just know what's coming, and it's just so sad to see it over again.
It is, and I thought that, I mean, the show did such a great job, because they're showing us a scene kind of frame by frame. Right? We've seen this before, but somehow they're able to do it in such a different way, which was so cool.
Mm.
And we mentioned the music throughout the show that it is really, really strong, but here added so much, right? And we were seeing the murder through Andrew's eyes.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really, really neat how they were able to do that, mainly with music.
Were you guys surprised by his reactions, Conan? Because I was surprised. I thought I knew this character pretty well, but even his reactions in this last episode were, like, surprising to me.
You talking about throughout the episode when he watched himself on the news, or just earlier on?
No, when he watched himself on the news, the aftermath of the killing.
No, I thought, and I'm sure we'll get more to that a little bit later, but I thought it was all appropriate because it did show us different layers, you know, like a conquest feeling that he had, and then a lack of emotion, and kind of like a, oh shoot, what did I actually do moment.
Mm-hmm,
so all of those different paintings was really good. What I really got intrigued by was that opening, being, you know, like you as a Miami kid.
Yeah.
It's like, Ocean Avenue?
Yeah.
Ocean Avenue. And we see a scene we've sort of already seen, but now I felt like I was walking it with the heartbeat of, like, all of these nasty things, you know, murder and manipulation. And my heartbeat was going as the characters was going. So that was shot very well.
Yeah, I found myself so taken aback when he gets the champagne. I thought there'd be at least a moment of fear when he heard his name on the TV, on the news, but he's just excited.
Well, he's been excited for a lot of the things he did that didn't make sense.
Yeah.
And as I was saying, like, once he was going, it wasn't until he saw the news that he was, like, had a different understanding of his wrongdoings, murder, in fact.
Yeah, because I thought this seemed more serious, and I thought he would have a different take on it.
No. It took me back to the moment where he was in the truck and he heard his name, or was it the Volvo? But either one, he heard his name on the radio and he was very excited. So yeah. That's where it took me to. This is the ultimate celebration for him because Versace is a celebrity and he finally got up to the status to where it's an international hunt now. Yeah. Knowing that his father is not anywhere to be, you know, in the close vicinity of America. Or, well, yes and no. But, you know, the news is contacting his father, like, this is the, they want to know where he's going. They want to know if he's fleeing the country, right. Whatever it may be. But this is the ultimate platform for him.
Right. Yeah. I thought it was really impressive because we do see the hint that he's trapped, right? And it feels like he's really trapped in Miami in a small space. But as you're saying, it's a global, you know, issue. And they're all trying to get him. So there's no way for him to hide. And I thought they did a really good job pushing that storyline.
And it gave him like a consequence that I think he maybe even didn't know he was seeking. So, right. I mean, obviously what he did was going to have a consequence. It hadn't happened, so he was able to do yet another murder and another one. And so this one finally was like, oh, I think it was at a point where he opened up his eyes and didn't even understand, geez, this is really what I did, you know?
Right.
Yeah, because, and he always feels like he can outsmart the police. Mm-hmm. But I think for the first time you see that idea kind of closing in on himself.
Right.
I was always wondering, I'm sorry, I was wondering if, like, he was, you know, what aspect of drugs he was on even in that stage, just because that could be a charge to make, you know, your decisions really weird. Yeah.
Right. I think, damn, it's tough.
Did anyone catch, well, I know this is kind of weird and out there, but, like, did anyone catch his mistake? They always say that,
I didn't want to catch his mistake.
The thing is, he made tons of mistakes. No, they should have been catching
him. The ultimate mistake that he did, and which a lot of people who do commit major crimes do, is they stay around the crime scene.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then he would have gotten out of... Thank goodness he didn't, but he would have gotten out of the area had he left immediately after the murder.
Exactly.
And not stuck around. And then they might have not found him.
Right. Possibly, except I was actually reading something, this Vanity Fair article that said... That it was his MO to leave. So they were looking, like, for anyone trying to exit Miami, had looked for cash. They were looking along those lines. They weren't expecting him to stay. So they actually kind of chilled their look for him to stay somewhere in Miami.
Right.
So it was like a mistake, but for his MO, it was like... kind of smart to stay.
It was, but again, he's stuck in this boathouse. He should have just, like, hopped in a car, driven a few miles out. But I thought, as we discussed, it was just really interesting, his reaction, because you could tell it just tilts. And he's like, oh, wait, I've been doing this. And he is so invisible for a majority of his life, and especially after these murders. It was really chilling to see him react to that, right? Because he was shocked, and then he was, like, kind of thrilled.
Yeah.
Did you guys notice?
Really bizarre. And real quick shout-out to you guys in the chat room. Hopefully we'll get your chat up real quick, and we'll be able to engage with you guys. We appreciate you guys joining us all season long.
Thanks, like, everybody listening to Recovering Toast.
It's been a great season. And, yeah, make sure to leave a comment. Watch back on demand. Yes. Go on AfterBuzz. There's so many portals. There's carpets, events.
lots of shows.
We got one coming up.
Oh, yes. Yeah. We always like to tell you about our leader, one of our leaders, her and Kevin Undergaro. This is, of course, Maria Menounos. I just get a kick out of the podcast. That's why I giggle a little bit when I talk about it, because now I find myself having to listen to it because every Friday, like, the way she does this particular podcast on Sirius XM, and then they filter it kind of as a best of on Fridays to iTunes, it's just so informational, you know what I mean? Like, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and honestly, they're so messy, right?
Yeah.
And so when I get to go to this one, I'm like, oh, geez, like, you know, I'll put it on in the car, and my perspective will change a little bit just because the way the team has put the show together. Mm-hmm. So that is, of course, Conversations with Maria Menounos, so you definitely won't miss it. And it's just a really fun podcast. I'm glad they did that, because a lot of people love the Sirius XM content,
mm-hmm.
but can't listen to the program because they don't have Sirius. So this solves the problem.
Yes. First of all, though, can we just talk about how she has everybody on there that I want to hear?
Yeah,
like,
right?
We want to hear Ashanti. Yeah. Okay. And she had Ashanti recently. I was all about it.
So the guest list is like what you would go for.
Yes, because okay. You know, there's things that we grew up listening to that the newer millennials. Yeah. Don't, you know, Ashanti had good music.
And you want to catch up.
And DeBrett has good music. And Montel Jordan's has.
You brought up, you know, Montel Jordan.
Yes. Yes, and I have met him. He's a very nice man. But, you know, these are the people that we want to see. So when Ashanti was there, I was like, oh, yes, Ashanti. Yes. Give it all to me.
Her last episode for our dog lovers, our pet lovers in general, covered things that you could do for your pet, this, that, and the other. Very, very detailed information. I don't even have a pet. But
yeah. One thing that's great about the podcast is that she always brings experts, right? So it's a show about dogs, but you have celebrity dog trainer Tamer Geller, and then you also have a really well-known veterinarian. I'm sorry, I don't remember her name. So it's listen to the podcast to hear about not only Maria, but also a lot of really cool experts.
It's like the best podcast, except for this one. Oh, shots! Oh. I'm just kidding.
Maria loves us. He'll be pink slipped tomorrow.
With that being said, when you leave her a comment, do say we brought her because she'll be really happy. And we're proud of it.
The Versace crew.
And if she gets Darren Criss on there, I'll give her the number one podcast shout out.
Smart. Yeah. Smart. Wish it into the world.
So she looks back at us like, been there, done that.
Well, getting back into it, one of our surprising characters, I thought, who was amazing, Judith Light playing Marilyn Miglin. I wish I had known she was going to come back in this kind of strong role. Mm-hmm. She was like the voice of reason I don't know. I just liked her voice in this episode. What do you guys think
about her? She was also the voice of moving forward, and then she was also the voice of recollecting things in her own life that she had to. You know, this show talks a lot about how, you know, Andrew didn't have anything and he kind of painted a woe is me picture and that's why he did what he did. Whereas you've got Versace being a young boy and his mother kind of also, they didn't really have much, but it was like persistence. And Marilyn also echoed that comment where it was like she said later in the episode, hey, I didn't have all these things. My father passed away and I took all that and I found a way to be special.
And I wanted to buy that perfume in that moment. I was like, wow, she's really, she's selling
this for sure.
She sold out in 20 minutes.
Yeah. I think that's something that struck me too in this episode is even throughout the whole season, right? Andrew's gone through a lot of stuff, but the people he's very envious of, they've gone through all their stuff, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And as humans, we all deal with our things, and it's how you take the pain that's out there and handle it, right? How you take your pain and keep moving forward. And so there's no real excuse for Andrew. God in his psyche is for entertainment, but
not to mention he seems like this brilliant guy who's actually working very hard to try to manipulate others. So it's like, why don't you just apply that to something that's more worthwhile for yourself? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But again, the mind of a killer.
I thought Marilyn she held besides Donatella, but she really held the pillar of strength, because when the FBI comes to you and they're almost quivering and they're having to explain to you and you're questioning them instead of it being the other way around, that's when you know that you have strength. And she has everything in line.
And I thought it was so interesting because she really hit them hard on that. Where have you been these 2 months?
Yep.
And we get a little bit of that with our detective Lori Wider in that room with Ronnie, because Ronnie's like, you guys don't care. It's so interesting because Ronnie and Miss Miglin are on the exact same page here.
But if you guys recall, she did ask the FBI agents from the beginning, where are the rest of the fires? They said they only had 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't want to beat a dead horse because we do talk about that, and the whole show talks about like, what this investigation was like when 4 men passed away, when we were murdered, and then what it was like when this notable nationwide figure.
Yeah, it's not beating a dead horse. This was the reality.
Yeah, right? I loved a lot of what Ronnie had to say, and he gave it to him direct, and it was really good.
Yeah, to me, it's just like Marilyn Miglin's not even coming from the standpoint of like a gay character. She's like wondering, why haven't you just done your jobs here?
And she also evoked this emotion that you're like, gosh, I mean, how do you get through this? But then the last thing you want to do is continue to keep dealing with this. Like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like she had a pain that maybe that's why I started watching the show with my hands crossed like I was in a church service, because I really was having a hard time even writing notes today.
And we always like to cover fact versus fiction. Mm. And one of the interesting things is that Cunanan actually pawned this gold coin from Lee Miglin.
Yep.
And they had his passport, thumbprint. They sent it to the FBI as required by law, the thumbprint. And a week before Versace's murder, nothing was done. And I think we got some more fact and fiction with Juliet.
Yeah, let's maybe head to it towards after. Let's go.
Oh, what's up? Okay, you want to do that? A tease, baby.
A little tease.
Something coming up.
Okay, cool. We did have that beautiful opening scene with the doves.
Right.
And I think, we'll wait for that fact for fiction. Now I'm like,
you want to know it all.
Yes. So then we also had Mary Cunanan. And I felt so bad for her. She's really,
I know.
She's really taken it on the chin this entire.
Not only that, but she's like underneath her blanket watching the TV. Like, you know, first of all, she had to deal with postpartum, which is a very serious thing to deal with as a mother who's just given birth. Well, she just didn't just give birth. But, yeah. You know, it's a lifelong thing that you're always dealing with because you go back and you feel guilty. But then now she's looking at her son on camera, probably feeling guilty again, thinking, wow, I raised this monster. Right. You know?
And I think she's also going through this twice. There's a second man in her life who does all these crimes and who takes, you know, rips the rug underneath her, right? Mm-hmm. She thinks that at first, as we saw in a few episodes back, she has this great husband. No, she doesn't. He's a criminal. And she even admits, like, oh, I knew. So my thought when I was watching this and we were seeing Andrew and he's revealed to be a criminal, maybe she knew deep down. Maybe she had that tilt and she's like, wow, this is the second man in my life going through this.
And it just looks like everyone left her. You know what I mean? Like, excluding the husband and Andrew, it's like, where are her other children to support her? Where are her family, especially if she does have some type of mental issues that she's struggling? So, and they painted that very well. Like, they had her under a cloth and it was smoky. And like, so I think this episode did step it up on a lot of, like, the, you know, the way they shot stuff that had parallels to them and had deeper emotions, the music. I was into that.
They're always so good. It's like, I'm sure we missed so many different small details because they're so good at, like, weaving together this great narrative.
Yeah.
Were you going to say something?
Yeah, I think the narrative is just especially strong with the media, right? And you just see Andrew walking around and he has barely any interactions this episode apart from at TV. So I thought it was really cool how there's different TVs, different rooms, different news outlets. It just added such layers to the show. It was really great.
And did you guys notice almost every news broadcast mispronounced this guy's name, right? But yet he's like one of the 10 most wanted on the FBI's wanted list. It's like nobody cared about looking at this guy because no one cared.
They also showed a shot of, I think Andrew, was it Andrew walked by? Somebody walked by and there was the one of the things posted. I'm not sure if it was posted. It might have been the TV.
No, it was posted.
No,
they
okay.
had the three, they had the three
so
looks.
Finally they're there, right? But one of the looks was him in drag.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it just went off that time, whereas, like, in 97, all of these things had, like, some of them were true, of course. Like, he sold himself to men. No, but I'm saying that may have not been true. I don't think it was true. But where the news took it. Like, the news was like, oh, we don't know how to understand what a gay man's story is. Like, his action. We're going to say he is on drugs and he's on, and a lot of those are true, but he wasn't in drag, but that's what the news wanted to tell you about gay men. And I think that's why I said Ronnie's part. I liked the way he kind of gave it to them. And
he really did.
I wonder what happened to Ronnie.
I remember that poster scene. You're saying that there's, like, different pictures.
Yeah,
I thought about that too. I was like, oh my gosh, okay, so this is definitely because it's a gay man. Okay, maybe they're just trying to see because he's trying to have a different look and go under guys. But
he was known to actually wear different wigs, but not as a female.
Right.
But he was known to wear, like, different male wigs.
Right.
So I did think that was an interesting thing that they would just, because you don't see that typically for,
no, you don't.
If I were a murderer regardless, I'd probably just throw on a female's wig and just to think that'd be the least way to recognize me, right?
Yeah, it just talked about 1997 media interpretation. So I was watching an interview in 1985, not with Versace, but just things were a lot different. I was watching a particular interview on Ellen right before she was going to come out, but hadn't said it yet, and Rosie O'Donnell. So you got two lesbians there just, you know, playing ping pong in 1995, and they can't say certain things. So when I watched that interview this week, I'm like, oh, I'm seeing how 97 treated this
really
crazy topic of same sex. And that's, so when I saw that, I was like, ah, it really was that. You know, I was a 17-year-old kid, but it really was that in 97.
Yeah, and it's, we had really that great line from Ronnie about, you know, you guys were disgusted before he ever became disgusting.
Mm-hmm. That was good.
And I think that whole thing of he's not hiding, he's only wanted to be seen. I thought that summed up Andrew Cannon.
100%. I feel like we talked throughout this season of people who, did they really know him? Did they really get him? This was the first time where I had a character. I was like, he gets him. He knows exactly who he is.
Yeah, and at this time, he's no longer, he's not kind of persuaded by what Andrew's able to bring around. Because I think a lot of his friends weren't calling Andrew out because at the end of the day, they were still having a great time and kind of partying, you know? So even though he's lying about this and the next thing, he's still bringing them around these great social circles.
Right, he's not hiding. He's not hiding.
What did you guys think about that message from his best friend, Lizzie?
Oh, God. That was just... I think this character has a lot of layers, just like Andrew. She seems very sweet, and she also seems very a little obsessed with the whole fame aspect of it all. So that was a twisted video because you could tell that she was pleading to her friend, mm-hmm. but I also felt like she was enjoying part of it. Mm. Do you guys get that?
If this was 2018 and this happened, she would have an Instagram handle called My Best Friend Lizzie and then like auction a book.
So 100%. She'd be on like Megyn Kelly. She'd be all over press touring. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, has she actually done any press?
Oh, no,
now?
She's done a little press, but nothing to the extent that we're discussing.
We're saying, hey, we're media market.
Great, now we just gave her some ideas.
I mean, it's kind of clever. My best friend, Lizzie.
The mind.
Yeah. And we actually had such an interesting piece of Modesto. We got to see him again. We didn't think we were going to see this character again, but we saw him. What do you guys think of that interaction and obviously that extra betrayal, as if he hadn't betrayed Andrew enough?
I thought my mind changed as I was watching what was going to happen. Did you guys like picture exactly what was going to happen?
Oh,
like,
yeah,
was
I know.
Fly oh, no, I didn't know what the heck was going to happen. I was very invested in it. I thought for sure, like, you know, it was all going to be trash. I thought he was going to go sell the location or where he was at. And then he didn't do that. It made it, the way the episode ran, it made it look that way because then all of a sudden the next clip you see a cassette tape. So I was like, oh, they did record him, you know? So I thought it was that. But it just was very like, in true Modesto fashion that he would sell out his son.
Yeah, I knew he wasn't going there, but I was like, he's going to try to benefit in some way, but I just wasn't sure how he would.
It just left me saying, when is the deception going to happen?
And the worst part about that whole thing was when he said, how much should I charge this time?
Yeah.
Because he thought it was another interview.
Yeah.
So you really saw your kid as a tool to just bring you more financial income.
Yeah. Did he see his kid as a tool, or did he always make everything
opportunist.
A tool?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He even called himself an opportunity.
Last episode, yeah.
We had a little bit of tragedy with Antonio D'Amico. It was just sad from the outset, just like, you know, how Donatella was kind of shutting him out. But even as they were kind of coming together, it seemed like they were kind of finding some common ground, but yet...
That they'd be at least, they would at least accept each other's company.
Yeah.
And no.
And it seemed like she was doing that, but only that. She's like, I will let you be sad around me, and I will be sad around you, but nothing more.
Exactly.
That makes me not like her. I'm sorry.
Well, no wonder now the real Donatella doesn't like this program, probably because that's what the reaction would have been.
Well, yeah. I mean, if this is how she really was, which it has been said this is how she really was.
Yeah, we have that quote that she gave. Yeah.
What an ugly thing to be.
Yeah.
Especially if you're... Sorry, go ahead.
I very ugly, but I also very sad because there's just no knowledge there. You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly.
So as infuriating as it is, it's very sad that there's... At that time, at least, there's no education, right? You're kind of... Sometimes you need to be taught how to be a good human being, as silly as that is. And I don't think
I gotta defend Donatella here for a second. We kind of touched on this before, but again, Donatella kind of, or at least to me, blames Antonio for the murder of Johnny Versace. She's kind of resentful that they had this open relationship, which then means he had the opportunity to meet Kunana and have Kunana come back in his life and kill him. So I understand the resentment and I understand the blame. And it wasn't like she was, like, being mean to Antonio. She was saying, like, I'm sad, you're sad, let's focus on goodbye. She's just like, I'm not going out of my way to help you because I really believe that if you were not here, my brother would be alive.
I mean...
And so she's in pain, too. She's not like... She's like, you know...
I get it. People say things that...
Well, yeah, I was going to say, I also wonder, like, you know, is her pushing him away, which, while I don't like it, and while there were no protections as far as their union, and you do see Antonio having to kind of, like, figure it out, I wonder if, like, a part of it really was just the fact that she has already had conversations with her brother about his passing, you know, on other potential cases, and then it actually happens that she just... jumped into this focus mode where she had to do what she had to do, and that did not require her being, you know, an extending hand for Antonio. You know, don't hate the player, don't hate the game kind of situation.
Yeah.
Well, at the end of the day, Donatella did have she did have say, which I'll get to later.
Yeah.
She did have say, and for the fact that she told him, I'm sorry for your loss, and that you're one of the board members, and you're going to tell him that your fate is up to the board.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
Well, I think in that moment, she was not going to be like, hey, Antonio, I'm going all out for you. I got your back. She wants to be like, I'm saying goodbye to my brother. I kind of blame you for this. But, yeah.
But not only that, but you should, as a brother, yeah. If something happened to one of my siblings,
yeah.
Of course you're going to go out and you're going to support their spouse. Regardless of what the relationship is, because this is why...
If you blame the spouse for the sibling's death?
No, this is what... that's what I was getting to. Yeah. This is why we have problems in society, because everybody just talks too damn much, first of all. And that's why you end up hating, you know, in-laws or whatever, because someone runs to you and complains about little tiny things or big things that's none of their business.
And yeah, and you have
and maybe perception. Gianni did that with Donatella. He complained to her about things that were just none of her business, that was just solely in their relationship.
Yeah.
And she took it out on
it's going to impact
Antonio.
The perception of, yeah, that person. Mm-hmm.
True. I really love that theory. But I also think a lot of it is, we just got to go back to whoever said it here at the panel, which was, it was just her understanding. Like, you know,
yeah.
To think about, like, the way she reacted and then the way she reacted to the openness thing. And, you know, here we're all trying to say, no, that is an actual situation. They were okay with it and it is of the time. You can't mm-hmm. get married anyway. You know, that's not a reason, but you can't talk about things you don't know.
Yeah.
And so her reaction was very similar to her reaction to how they ran their lives.
And, mm-hmm. and she did say, the real Donatella, after being interviewed about this, about whether or not the relationship between Antonio changed, she said something to the effect of, well, I always respected him as a boyfriend of my brother, but I never liked him as a person, so mm-hmm. our relationship yeah. never changed.
The exact quote is, I respected him as the boyfriend of my brother. I never liked him as a person. Yeah.
And with all that said, I mean, just the real Donatella, like, oh my gosh, just what amazing strength, though, that she did. Yeah. I mean, even I think about when we saw Marilyn Miglin's portion of the show and she had to relive some stuff. Like, the real Donatella, like, to just be so fierce, even from 97, and then to go 20 years later and to yeah. hear our opinions or whatever.
Yeah.
It's got to be hard. That's why when I see her Instagram, I like all the photos, because I'm like, she's found a way to live yeah. her best life, which seems unimaginable yeah. to me, you know. Yeah. So,
and one of the things I just want to jump in yeah. real quick and say, one of the things you said a while ago was like, Donatella was ugly in this moment. And I loved how at the very end, her face is obscured by the Versace seal. And she looks really ugly
with
for
the monism. Yeah.
Yeah, when she's looking at the Versace thing, it's like Versace has made her ugly to a degree.
Right.
Yeah, and that's a yeah. good point to bring up.
Yeah, I thought that was such a great scene where they're with the mirror.
Yeah.
I thought it just showed a lot, because it said, you know, now she's really stepping into this role. She is Versace now. She has this face. She's the Medusa. And it's not pretty. And it's not going to be pretty.
Yeah.
She's just going to have to do the job and the work and... Yeah.
Yeah.
Go with this empire.
And can we jump into a little facts versus fiction
now?
Yeah,
let's do it. Okay,
let's do it.
So
facts versus fiction.
Thank you.
We had to bring out all the stuff from the last episode.
Oh my gosh. So thank you. Yeah. So the first scene that opens this show with you, we see the murder again. This murder, as we've mentioned before,
yeah.
Versace was shot in the back of his head. So this dramatic turn when he looks at Andrew and he goes, no, that just didn't really happen. What he was wearing, Andrew, according to witnesses, is just really, they took what witnesses had given information, the cap, the backpack, all that, and really stuck to that in terms of costume design. And we actually, in this episode, Andrew laughs at one point because he's listening to the radio, and they're mentioning that they think that this murder might be linked to the Italian mafia, which he finds ridiculous because he knows it's not true. And at the time, they believed that because when Versace was being shot, one of the bullets hit a dove, and which fell right next to him.
Yeah.
So very poetic. I think that was just really yeah. crazy little fact. Then we see him escape to the boathouse. This boathouse was 41 blocks north of Versace's mansion. So really not far. He's
yeah.
in quite a distance, but still,
but
considering
it's real on the,
he's not escaping. He's stuck. He's really like in a trap in a way. There's police footage that shows the inside of the house. So again, in terms of like interior design, they mimic that really well with the big TV. The couches are very similar, which, you know, it's really, I like to see how they take liberty with certain maybe storylines, but in terms of visual, it's really important to them to stay and yeah. represent that as much as possible.
Made me want a houseboat.
For sure. The photo itself too of him like his neck is cocked over a little bit too. So mm-hmm. I liked that we saw like he put the gun in the mouth. He turned like all of that really spoke to the emotion in his final moment.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think it's such a great job that they're able to take a show and have facts and yes, it'd be entertaining and take certain liberties here and there and still respect the show. Mm. Marilyn Minglin, as we see in this episode, the FBI goes to see her to her house and tells her you need to leave. She says no. This is kind of very unlikely it actually did happen. She was doing an appearance in Florida a few weeks after her husband died. But again, her husband died 2 months prior to Versace. So those timelines do not add up. Mm-hmm. But great scenes added a lot. So I was all about it.
Yeah, to the flight.
And then mainly, right, we see the suicide at the end of this episode.
Yeah.
Antonio's suicide.
Yeah.
Thankfully, that did not happen.
He's alive and well.
Has a partner since for several significant time now. He still works in fashion. As we know, he met Versace when he was working, when he was assisting an executive at Versace and did a little modeling here and there, and then they became lovers and partners for 15 years.
And as Versace liked the beauty, young Antonio, he was a piece of work. He was definitely a piece of work.
Yeah. Why did you say that?
Because he was hot as hell.
Yeah.
I didn't mean a piece of work. Like, he was a handful. Like, I'm saying the photos. Like, because I've seen interviews of him now, and you're like, oh, wow, not only is he older now, but he's lost this huge portion of his life. But I don't know, for some reason, the photos speak to, like, when life was just grand, you know? And that's all you can have.
He had a lot of attitude and just very, very, very charming. Very charming man.
Yeah, and there was that. So he was actually left, 50 lira in the will of Versace and could stay in any U.S. or Italian home. But of course, Versace didn't own those. They were owned by the board. But they did allow him to stay in those homes for a limited amount of time. And they allowed him to get that little pensioner, that part.
Well, in all fairness, though, previous to Versace's death, Versace was giving him 30,000 monthly allowance. So Versace was known to spend a lot of money that he, we found out at this episode that he actually doesn't even own these homes because he's spending so much money now they're in the board's name.
Yeah.
So he did receive a pension, but the pension was a fraction of what he had been used to. He stayed in those homes for a small period of time, and he was really, pushed to the side, as we see in this episode. This is really something that happened. It happens to a lot of people. It's lesser now, but back before we had gay rights, you couldn't really be there for your partner because once they died, when you don't have rights, it's really hard. So we saw this in this episode. The real Antonio says that he went through like a crazy depression. He had gone through depressions, he says, and hardship before this, but nothing like this. This really stuck him because he didn't know how to feel. Everyone was telling him to go to therapy. It took him a long time to actually get to therapy. He a lot of emotions, but I'm glad to know that he is alive and well. He lives in Italy. He has had a lot of different lines, and he's had his own fashion show. And Donatella did not attend, so she's not really supporting his fashion career.
Once I don't like you as a person, I'm not attending your fashion show.
No business here. No business. So no family, love, or business.
But at least Donatella did allow him to get a little bit of money and a little was able to.
Yeah, but
to leave.
very little. So. Consider,
she could have said no. She could have said no houses,
if we
no
were
money.
Dealing with a, if we were dealing with a straight couple. I'm sure with any powerhouse and there's no prenup, I'm sure you get pushed to the side. But
if they were married, then
if they were married,
but straight. I think if she still didn't like the person as a person, I think she'd still have acted the same way.
Yeah.
You were saying? She actually approached him with a payout versus what he was supposed to get. So her and the older brother approached Antonio with a payout agreement as long as he was willing to sign over what was supposed to be left to him.
Right. Oh, okay, nice. And then, do you have some more news for us?
I do. So Ryan Murphy...
Yes. TV News.
Ryan Murphy recently said to E! News during an interview that he doesn't really care about what Donatella thinks about the series because of how she treated Antonio when it came down to the death of Versace. She also Murphy also thought that Penelope Cruz did a great portrayal of Donatella and that she shouldn't be... In so many words, shouldn't be ridiculed for her great work. And it was a piece of art, and that's what it was meant to be seen as.
Ridiculed by whom? Donatella? Or in general?
Just to be ridiculed, the series to be ridiculed by Donatella. Because she did such a good job in portraying and so much work going into the effort of becoming her as a character.
That makes me a little upset at Ryan Murphy, but keep going.
I feel like there's different ways of, he could have worded that. You know what? You got to have some respect.
She's still the person who exactly went to
Yeah, he does have respect for her, but as for the fact that he didn't completely agree and didn't really care about what she thought about because it was a beautiful piece that was created, and they did their research and they looked into the actual eyewitness accounts and some of the other things that were reported. Ricky News, yeah. Ricky Martin, dun dun dun. Ryan Murphy is also working on creating a series around Ricky Martin, just like he did
Sarah Paulson.
Like, yes, just like Sarah Paulson, because he believes that Ricky Martin is capable of anything that you put him in front of because Ricky is so talented. As for if it's scripted or reality, or scripted reality has not been clarified, but it was definitely hinted towards scripted, and that Ricky Martin would be the center of that show.
I'm in for it. He did a VH1 reality. He's goofy as heck. Or if he wants to get more involved as an actor, as he was when he was a child.
He's been entertaining since like 12, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And one more thing, Antonio was actually designing for Versace's parent company, Versace SPA.
All right.
Wait, what do you mean? When he was with Versace?
When he was with Versace. Oh,
okay. Wow. Very nice.
So that's how he got his design start.
I don't know if I like those Ryan Murphy comments. I think you just got to stay silent if you're Ryan Murphy on that issue.
Yeah, I agree. Because it's not really your story to tell. Yeah. And I get your film, you know, you are telling the story. But I do. I think what he's saying, it comes from the sentiment that she represents a lot of family members who have done this to people.
Yeah, but no matter how beautiful of a piece you're putting together, like rehashing the most tragic moment of someone's life is not like something you want to say, hey, we deserve the right to do this.
Well, he did say that they tried to stick to as close as the book as they could.
No, but
so it was a betrayal of the book. So if... I think it's supposed to be a mutual respect, and this is just me being in his mind as someone who has produced some things. You just respect the fact that it was... You're creating something, but it's trying to be as closely done to a literary work.
Yeah, right. No, I agree.
Whether you agree with it or not.
But I just say stay silent on the issue because you know what
How
you're
can
doing.
You stay silent on something that you created?
I feel like it was taken out of the context.
In regards to Donatello, like, you don't say, hey, look, like, here's why we're doing this, and we essentially have the right to... Like, he's basically saying, like, this is why we're right.
It was agreed with... he did agree, though. I know we got to wrap up, but he did agree that he wouldn't go in depth on, or he wouldn't do anything to... Donatello's kids in any portrayal in the series, which he did not.
That at least he,
so there was respect like nice. Towards her, and some of the comments that she said he also hasn't agreed with. So
he should have been silent on the issue. But back to this beautiful piece that we have. It is a beautiful piece, so I'll give him that.
I really loved the scene with a particular song, "The Man I Love." That song. Yeah. They didn't play the words, but just the audio, and it was at a particular portion where Cunanan went through all these emotions, and it was almost like he bought and believed a lot of the stuff. And I just jumped around back to that because I thought that was one of the better scenes in context of Ryan Murphy doing great work. I liked the way the music was. I liked the way the cassette tape went in. I liked the way they let us feel that Andrew believed it all. And what a perfect song, even without the lyrics, The Man I Love, for it to be playing in the background and to like say what's going on or how he received the information.
Right. I mean, such a strong ending. Yeah. My favorite scene, honestly, was the last scene when we were comparing the two deaths, I mean, the two monuments or whatever you want to call him. And you know, Versace will always forever be remembered and has this beautiful little tombstone. And Andreas will always be remembered, but he's still in this small little box amongst thousands and just kind of bared away and forgotten. One wants. Yeah, exactly. Well,
would he be happy? How about ask you that? Would he be happy with this, the fact that he's received new fame?
Yes. Maybe, but I think what that showed to me, at least, that yes, he's known, but he's not. No one wants to really remember him or like. Respect him and just, you know, worship him in any way.
I mean, think about it like this. An entire series was dedicated to that story, and his name wasn't even on the damn thing.
Yeah.
So he is very much in that coffin, or, you know, as you said. Right. He's very, that is, I mean, come on, the similarities are just too crazy.
What did you guys think about the flashback right before he kills himself with his younger self? I thought that was a great scene as well. It was a really strong scene.
Yeah, I mean, they just tied everything beautifully together. The last scene with Versace and having that moment after he kills himself with Versace. And I just thought everything was so well, beautifully done.
I thought it just showed that he talked his own story in his head, Andrew did. Mm-hmm. And then when getting the opportunity to see the other story, the real story, it's not what you said it was. And that's where Andrew's tick is. Yeah.
Right. Well, and we got to see Naomi, as you mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, we actually got to look footage. We saw Princess die. We saw Elton John.
I know, the media played such a huge part in this. this, which was really, really neat way to, yeah, to represent the series. I'm really sad, guys.
It's the end of a beautiful era, guys. Yes. I've enjoyed hosting the show with you guys. Yes. Enjoyed seeing you guys in our chat room.
Wait, I was missed. Well, you didn't put your
hand in there. You guys can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Soccer Strong.
Hey, Ronnie Jr. at Randomly RJ. Thanks for watching. This has been a really dynamic show. Like, I've loved this story. The darn his house, Versace House in Miami, is on my screensaver on my phone. This thing spoke to me. So to have Ryan Murphy and the people put a show together, it was what I think all the time.
Yeah. And you guys can thank you, by the way, for sticking with us all season and for wrapping season 2 with us. And some of us will be back for next season talking about some other things. And you can follow us, or me, myself, my bad, at Russell Ray Silva on Instagram and across the whole internet. I'm lost in my world right now.
Thank you guys so much. I mean, words cannot describe how much fun this was. We're so glad we get to share it with you. And you know what? You get to share it as well. Tell a friend about the show. Watch on demand. This show, as we know, was told backwards. So now there's so many different ways to see it. From episode to episode. Do the same with us. We're a family here. We love AfterBuzz. We're family there too. So make sure to follow me on Instagram at Bonjour Juliet. Also, go on AfterBuzz and type in my name. I've been doing a lot of real cool red carpets. They give great advice and it really gets me through my week. And I hope it'll get you through yours too.
Yes.
Thumbs up, likes, love and we it. Love you.
I'll see you guys.
Bye, guys.
Next season.
Yeah. Yes.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Bye later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.